Well, brethren, I'm not going to speak too long. I have a cold that has settled in my throat, for one thing. So I can't proceed for too long a period, which is an advantage. But it's been a wonderful privilege to be here over the Word of God and to be encouraged in the things of Christ. But remember, we're going back to assemblies. I understand there's about 25 assemblies represented here. We're going back to the same situation that we came from. We only have a conference once a year, 51 weeks of the year, we don't have a conference. So what is on my heart to present briefly is the importance of continuing on in the path that the Lord has marked out in His Word for us. We're living in difficult times. We're living in days when the truth has been assailed on every side, when there's been a giving up of fundamental truth and those special revelations that we have in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, such as the Lord's coming, which has been before us, the truth of the Church of God, the truth of the body of Christ, and the rapture, and so on. These truths have been lost in the ecclesiastical rubbish that prevails in Christendom today. And the Lord has gathered us out from the systems of men, and according to the Word of God, there's been a recovery. There's been a restoration. It's very similar to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. There was a remnant that had returned from the corruption that was in Babylon. Not everyone came back to God's center, Jerusalem. Really, only a remnant came back. Quite a few were content to remain in the comforts of Babylon, but some had an exercise to return to God's center. And there's been a movement in the last couple of centuries that is very similar to the days of Ezra. You know, there's a great deal of ruin in the Church of God today. It's just like Jerusalem. The walls are broken down. The stones have been buried under a pile of rubbish. And here we are, part of the ruin ourselves. We can't lift our heads very high, brethren, because we have to acknowledge that we have been unfaithful. We're part of the ruin. But God in His grace has raised up a testimony to these precious teachings that are being given up in the camp today. They're not recognized. And we have the bringing in of wrong teachings, so-called covenant theology, or whatever you might call it, Reformed theology, which is really confusion and no recognition of the dispensational teachings of the Word of God. Now, I just want to look briefly at the prophet Haggai, chapter 1 of Haggai. You remember that Haggai he was the Lord's messenger, and he had the Lord's message too. We don't read a lot about Haggai. We don't know what tribe he was from or much about his background. He was in Jerusalem. He had come from the captivity, no doubt, with Zerubbabel. And in Haggai, we have a man who reached the conscience of the people. Zerubbabel was there, but Zechariah is a little different character. In Zechariah, he prophesies of the coming glory of the kingdom and the appearing of the Messiah, but not so much with Haggai. Haggai was raised up at a time when things were in a very lethargic state. There was a lot of self-seeking among the remnant that had come back. A remnant had come back. They had started to build the temple, you remember, with the authority of the king. But then for 14 years, they neglected the building of the temple. And they were looking after their own interests. They were seeking their own comfort and pleasure in Jerusalem. And the Lord's house was being neglected. It didn't have the importance that it should have had in their souls. We'll read a few verses in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? All right, there was a neglect in regard to the Lord's things. They were in the right place. They had been brought back to God's center, no doubt. But there was a lot of rubbish to be cleared away. The stones of truth had to be recovered. We find that in Nehemiah. They had the Lord's authority to build the temple, and they commenced with that work, but then self-seeking came in, self-pleasing, and they became in a state of apathy. And that's a danger, brethren, for any one of us. We are gathered on scriptural ground. But Haggai had a message for the conscience of the people here. He wanted to exercise them about their ways, what they were going on with, their attitudes. Look here in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What should have had the first place in their thoughts was being neglected. The Lord's things were secondary. They were occupied with their own interests and their own progress. And the things of this world. And they did not have the blessing of the Lord in their lives. Well, I think this speaks to each one of us, how easily the world can come into our thinking, how easily we can live for the things down here, as our brother brought before us. The fine gold can become dim, and we don't give the Lord his rightful place in our lives, in our assemblies, in every aspect of our life, whether it be commercial life, or home life, or assembly life, or the work of the gospel. I was reading recently the last words of our brother Andrew Miller, who you will recognize as being the author of Miller's Church History and many other good expositions. And he mourned at the end of his life the apathy that there was in giving out the gospel, because he had a real heart for souls. Though he was a very gifted teacher, he never preached the gospel without tears. That's why he saw fruit. But he mourned at the end of his life that the gospel was being neglected. Well, we have that wonderful opportunity to spread the Word of God in these dark days, to hold forth the Word of life. We have that privilege. We have that responsibility. But here in the days of Haggai, covetousness was coming in. Worldliness was coming in. Self-seeking was evident there. Unholy things in our lives, perhaps, that no walls can keep out. We need self-judgment. And this was the call of Haggai, self-judgment in the lives of these people who were in the place of privilege and yet were not answering to the mind of God. When you read the book of Malachi, you even see a worse state of indifference. They were in the right place, but what a sad spiritual condition they were in. Just read the first chapter of Malachi. Well, this is certainly a summons to self-judgment. This is what Haggai presented. He was the Lord's message, the Lord's messenger, the word of God on his lips, and the power of God, the Lord, in his life, in his ways. And he stirred up these people. You know, we need to be stirred up, brethren. He that speaketh, he that prophesieth, speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is building up. Exhortation is stirring up. And comfort is binding up. We need those three things in the ministry. And may the Lord help us to apply these things in a practical way. There needs to be practical holiness in our lives. How often trifles will keep us away from the meeting. We don't attend the prayer meeting. Sometimes I think that attending the meetings is a matter of convenience. If it's all right and I don't have too much work, I'll be present at the meeting, but if I have something else on, I won't be. How often these things come into our lives and we don't put the Lord's claims first of all. You know, everything that we have belongs to him anyway. I often say to the boys and girls, I say, who does this money belong to? Well, they said, it belongs to you. I was speaking in Brazil recently, and I asked that question, well, boys and girls, this money that I have in my pocket here, who does it belong to? Well, of course, they all said, it belongs to you. I said, no, you're wrong. It belongs to another man. I'm just a steward to use it here for his glory. Well, there was a real work in the souls of these people. And in less than a month, they rose up in spite of all the rubbish and the drought and the barrenness that was in their lives, because they did not give the Lord his rightful place, they rose up as a company and began to build. And the last part of the chapter shows us Haggai giving them a cheer and encouragement. Oh, brethren, may we continue on in that path the Lord has marked out for us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I know that's often applied to our joy, and I would not detract from that. We certainly have a joy in serving the Lord. And the Lord can open doors for the gospel, you know, in a remarkable way. I was down to Brazil for 5 weeks with my good wife Eleanor there recently. And we used to pass by a large high school there. I said, look at Eleanor, all these thousands of students that are pouring out of here. Is there any way that we can get the gospel to them? Oh, she said, you know, they're very restrictive in the schools now, and they have brought in regulations about preaching or bringing religion into the classroom. Well, I said, all they can say is no, let's try anyway. So we pulled up the car in front of this high school, huge high school, I suppose a couple of thousand students during the day because they have three sessions. We parked the car behind a big bus that was standing there. And I said, now let's have a word of prayer before we go in. So we had a word of prayer and asked the Lord to direct our steps and if it was his will to open the door. And I opened my eyes and I looked on the back of the bus and it said, with God all things are possible. So I said, this is an encouragement, my dear, let's go in here. So we went in and contacted the administration. The door was widely open. We visited every classroom in that school and preached the gospel in every room and gave out these beautiful laminated texts that our sisters in Dorothy and other places labor so hard to prepare. They went out to every student. Anyway, the Lord can open the door if it is his will. Well, there was a response here, and we find that there was blessing in the lives of these people, and the leaders obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the work was resumed. If you look in verse 12, then we're still in chapter 1. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. What an encouragement that is. The Lord is in the midst. And this remnant was willing to work. And in 24 days, less than a month after Jehovah had spoken through his servant Haggai, they had commenced the work. And there was blessing, and God was glorified. Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength, but to finish what I was thinking along that line, we often apply that to ourselves, but I think that the main meaning of that expression is that the Lord finds joy when he sees his people responding to his love, obeying his word, energetic, putting forth the energy of faith in the service of the Lord or in the attendance at the assembly meetings. We need to be aroused, don't we, brethren? We need to have that purpose of heart to serve the Lord, that quiet determination that we're not going to depart from the things of the Lord and from the assembly where we are gathered according to the authority of the Word of God, where the Spirit of God is in the midst, as we read here. Are we going to drift away from the gathering center? Many have done so, to their loss, I feel. But may the Lord stir us up as Haggai stirred up the people here to judge ourselves and to own the Lord's claims upon all that we have and all that we do. If you can look at the second chapter of the book here, you have the coming of the Lord brought before us, His coming in person, not only the Lord's presence by His Spirit, but also His coming in person. And it speaks here of a little while. And these people, their hearts were lifted above their circumstances, and they had before them the hope of the kingdom being established when the Messiah himself would appear. Well, these are just a few thoughts, perhaps feebly presented, that I trust will be a blessing in encouraging us to press on in the path of faith and faithfulness. And the Lord blessed them materially too. They had a lot of barrenness and drought. Their money didn't go very far when they only used it for themselves. They didn't think of the Lord's interest. Their money didn't go very far. They were putting it into a bag with holes. But when they gave the Lord His rightful place, what blessing there was, and what glory was brought to God in the work that He had given them to do. May the Lord bless His word to us today.